Next item, 884.
Still me. Ratify a successor collective bargaining agreement between the City and Portland Police Commanding Officers Association relating to the terms and conditions of employment of police lieutenants for 2018-2020.
Director Summers-McGee.
It's me again. For the record, my name is Cyrilda Summers-McGee, and I am the Bureau Director for Human Resources. Joining me is Marquise Fudge, who is the Senior Labor Relations Analyst who helped negotiate the Portland Police Commanding Officer Association contract, which represents the lieutenant command staff within the PPB. Currently, there are 29 members within PPCOA. This bargaining agreement, the process was also very collaborative and conversation-oriented, where we took into consideration the needs of PPCOA as well as the needs of the city. Their contract now aligns with the PPA, the timing of the PPA contract, which will allow the city to have a more comprehensive approach to police contracts for all of the policing staff that are represented. It also aligns with the citywide healthcare prevention, preventative care initiative. This contract now makes sure that the PPCOA members are wrapped into the healthcare preventative care initiative that we adopted years ago. This particular contract allowed us to use underutilized resources that were contained in previous contracts to pay for the cost of this contract. So we felt very good about being able to strike that agreement with PPCOA.
Director Summers-McGee, what is the cost of the contract?
$127,000 over the course of the life of the contract.
$127,000 over the life of the contract.
That is correct.
Thank you.
That concludes our presentation.
Did you want to add anything? You worked hard on this.
No, it was this. Is this
on? It's on.
Oh, okay. I've been on quite a few bargaining teams during my course of time with the city, and this was definitely a refreshing process just because of how effective and how efficient it was. And living into this new relationship-based way of doing business definitely allows us space to explore different ideas and come to creative solutions that meet both parties' needs. So,
I want to thank you for your hard work. Appreciate it. Thank Commissioner you. Fritz?
How many people are in this bargaining unit?
29.
Thank you.
Public testimony, Carla?
Yes. We have, I believe, about 8 people signed up.
Very good.
The first 3, please come on up. Are Dan Handelman, Christopher Cabnigi, and we have Danielle James.
Good morning.
Good morning. My paperwork for flying around. Good morning, Mayor and other City Council members who are still here. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. The only things that we noticed changing in this contract for the PPCOA have to do with wages and benefits. And there's nothing about policy issues that have been raised repeatedly with City Council over the years. It's almost as if the City Council missed the significance of the protests around the PPA contract from 2016. At that time, or prior to the revelation that contract was being approved, Portland Cop Watch co-signed a letter with the AMA Coalition and others in August 2016 asking for some of those changes to be made and for those negotiations to be done in public, which didn't happen then and didn't happen with this contract, which apparently was negotiated over 2 weeks in June. There's language in this contract that's similar to the PPA contract that in theory precludes the independent police review from compelling officers to testify because it says the lieutenants will be told the name, rank, and command of the member in charge of the investigation, the interviewing member, and all other persons present during the interview. So that implies the interview is done by a police officer, even though the IPR is supposed to be doing high-ranking officer investigations. The contract still allows for grievances about discipline to be resolved through arbitration rather than perhaps going to the Civil Service Board or another body without a track record of putting cops back on the street when they breach community trust. And there's also an attached agreement that drug testing is to be done randomly rather than based on reasonable suspicion, including at deadly force incidents, which is another thing the community's been asking for. one lieutenant who was involved in a 2005 deadly shooting and multiple other force incidents, which have cost the city over $1 million in settled lawsuits, came before the Citizen Review Committee in two different cases, one just this month, for inappropriately putting his hands on community members who were trying to observe police behavior and to force them to move. In 2006, another lieutenant shot and killed somebody when he left his post to go to his sister's house and was fired, then reinstated. He served without any known violations from 2007 until he retired in 2016. But, you know, the point is that the lieutenants are still actively interacting with people on the street, unlike some of the higher command staff, perhaps. And these policy issues need to be addressed. I do also want to add that last time I came before this body, that was a couple of weeks ago, we were up in the Rose Room, and I got cut off in my testimony. I had a talk with the mayor, and he apologized. I thank you and appreciate you taking the time to talk. I still want to express that it's very even 25 years I've been coming in front of this body for Portland Cop Watch, and it's still intimidating for me. And so you have to consider that people who aren't used to coming in here might be intimidated and have fear that they're going to get cut off or ejected by being slightly off topic. And I just want to make sure that you are aware that it's not an easy thing for us to come before to you.
That's a fair admonition, and I appreciate it. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. If I may make a quick, unrelated, direct comment to Commissioner Udaly, may I?
We're here to talk about this contract and whether it should be ratified.
Okay, well, then real
very
quick.
Very specifically, whether this contract should be ratified.
This contract shouldn't be ratified. Today we sat here and we listened to working class people say they're not making enough money. They're struggling day by day. I myself and this individual here had to dig underneath our car seats this morning for change for the meter out there, the meter to park on the roads that we pay for. We listened to a man talk about conflict minerals and the suffering and the massacres that he experienced in his home country, a consequence of Western imperialism and capitalism. Now, sitting here, so privileged white people can have their iPhones, which I got one too. So now we're sitting here discussing whether or not, because I saw something in there, correct me if I'm wrong, a 3.6% increase for police lieutenants in their salaries, correct?
Four.
Four. Thank you. Four. Even better. So now we're going to sit here and we're going to discuss whether or not the Portland Police Bureau, as I've said before, a violent, an oppressive organization, paramilitary, if you will, should be given more money. Now, let's take a look at the situations that have occurred over the last couple of years. These individuals cannot even maintain their weapons properly. They cannot deploy them in a proper manner. They use CS gas, which I believe even the United Nations says is a chemical weapon in banned in warfare. They fire air distraction devices, and that is a fancy term for a flashbang grenade, at head level at people. And I will tell you right now, I was there, I watched it happen, I have no reason to lie to you, did not initiate hostilities against anyone. Those cops out there simply paved the way for their white supremacist buddies, the defenders of the status quo. They are defenders of a white empire. They are defenders of this system that you so benefit from. These people do not represent my interest. They don't represent the. Oh, right, yeah, they only started firing after they realized they left two squad cars behind the lines. The training that they have, basically where I'm coming to here, is that it's poor. It's terrible. I actually watch them myself all the time with a little bit of education on what is properly trained. Take my word for it, I ask. They are sloppy. They are lazy. They're brutish. They're just scum. They simply are. I watch it happen. I watch it happen with my own eyes, the violence that they sow. Okay? So we're going to sit here and talk about whether these poorly trained, violent individuals who simply don't understand that, for example, you're going to fire a 40-millimeter grenade, a flashbang grenade, at head level? No. You should be trained to fire that above the crowd. But they didn't. Why? Well, they simply hate the people that would oppose their position of privilege. The fact of the matter is, before you start giving raises to your pigs, why don't you spend a little more money on training them a little more properly? Or a little sensitivity training, as it's called. An understanding that they're simply there to not pave the way for white supremacists to march through our streets and enact violence, but to protect people and not attack them. And simple as this, as far as these white supremacists go, I saw a commissioner one time say, just give me a second, say that they won't be attending the protest at the waterfront. They'll be going to City Hall. They'll be going to City Hall to engage in a peaceful protest Well, straight from the horse's mouth, and I quote or paraphrase Adolf Hitler, who simply said the only way they could have stopped us is if they came into our meeting places, our beer halls, and they attacked us, smashed us, used violence to destroy us. The only way to cut fascism, the cancer of fascism, out of our society is to literally and forcefully cut it out.
Thank you.
While your pigs support them.
Yeah, thank you.
So
good morning.
Could you give us your name for the record, please?
James Chassey, Jr.
Good morning. You.
Wheeler, what is your position in the police Portland?
I'm the mayor of the city of Portland.
So you'd be able to answer some questions.
No, I won't.
Well,
this
won't.
Is public testimony time.
Okay.
This is your turn to speak.
I have a lot of questions. I'm not sure how I'm going to get those answered.
This is not a game show.
Okay. So
what?
Wow, you could have fooled me. So again, giving Portland police raises right now in this situation. The Portland police have quite a few lawsuits against them, correct? I mean, this is making news in England, which I'm sure you know. So with that happening, you're going to somehow approve a 4% raise when we have people dying on their streets in this city. How does that even make sense? How and why does that make sense? How? Is there any? Can you give any indication of why the Portland Police Bureau with, again, like James Chassey Jr. here was saying, is absolutely not trained. Them themselves will say they haven't had training. What standard does Portland have for any kind of de-escalation tactics? There's a national standard. There's state standards. What does Portland have for it?
Belching through an LRAD.
So I don't want to take your time, but I will tell you there are use of force standards, directives. They are put out for the public. We get public commentary, and those are actually...
It's about 6% of their training is de-escalation.
They have de-escalation training.
6%. The rest of it is basically... The rest of it is...
If you know the answer,
tactics of basically...
Keep going.
Do you know who Christopher Kalonji is? Any of you?
Listen,
okay.
We're getting way off field here.
A tactic, a life could have been saved. Granted, it was Clackamas police, but same fucking thing with Portland police. A life could have been saved if there was a de-escalation tactics used. But there was a gunshot wound to the chest of a 19-year-old boy having a mental crisis. I have seen my friends and myself get abused multiple times. Why the hell does Portland, Oregon have a militarized police force? That is freaking pathetic. That is absolutely fucking ridiculous.
It's sick.
Can I ask
my
you
family
not to
is
swear,
from
please.
Different
we don't
countries.
Want to lose our license.
I'm sorry?
This is broadcast. We don't want to lose our FCC license. Please don't use that
I
language.
I apologize for my colorful
Thank
language.
You. Thank you.
This stings. It stings because I don't see how you're going to reward, except you're all part and parcel of the same thing, shaking hands with each other, reward a bunch of fucking thugs. I'm sorry. I can't control myself right now at this point.
Seriously,
I'm sorry.
I'm going to ask you to stop.
But that's what's happening right now. You're going to give a 4% increase to a bunch of freaking thugs when you haven't even, none of you all had made right with Quadis Hayes' family. Where's the money for that family? For the loss of another child? Completely out of control use of force, murder by Portland police. And you're saying that that's okay after what just happened with a protest. Again, making national news. Portland Police Bureau is looked upon as a pretty freaking shady police bureau. And you're ahead of that.
Thank you, all three of you.
Do you have any police for training?
Next three, please.
Do you know how to run a police force? Do you know anything about...
Please.
The next three, I believe, are... was there a Christopher Cabnigi?
Excuse me. Excuse me. You're interrupting and you're robbing other people of the opportunity to speak. Please leave.
The answer is no.
Christopher Cabnigi, Kendra James, Keaton Otis, Larnell Bruce.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
For the record, I am Larnell Bruce.
Is your mic on? I'm not sure. It is. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. So, about the police, I get you guys want to pay them more money. My concern is why, again, addressing other people's concerns. They're very abusive. This morning, first of all, I'll point out the fact that we have the right to peacefully protest. Am I right? I feel like across the street at Chapman Square, and now where we're moved at, right across the street. We've been following park rules, abiding by the rules of the police. This morning, your police drove up to address a matter. There was a TriMet vehicle with his lights on. It was about 6:30 this morning. Sat there and shined it in our face. Then called police. And when I told them my issue with that, someone could have pulled to the side. There was no one was at the courthouse yet. They could have pulled to the side. The police, upon leaving, shined the brightest lights on top of their cars on us for a few seconds on purpose and drove off laughing at us. These are the kinds of people that you guys want to give more money to. Granted, protests here don't have the best relationship with police, but we're human. And I feel like when we're treated like that, there's going to be plenty of opposition towards these pay raises and things like that. But specifically when it comes to the houses, I have a home. I'm out here because I choose to be out here, not because I have to be. So when I'm treated less than, and I've experienced this, I've been out here 2 weeks here at this location. I'm sure you know how long we were at the other location. When it breaks my heart because I have the choice to go home and sleep in my bed in the warmth or in the cool air if I want to. I worry for the people who don't have that option. And when they come through and I'm witnessing these things happen, it breaks my heart because there's so many people out there on the streets dead that don't have that option. And I feel like something needs to change when it comes to these cops, and it's not their pay rate, because people are being harassed. The Clean and Safe crew is a freaking joke. Come by harassing people, throwing things away. Like I said, I have the option to be out here, but when you take someone's sleeping bag or you take their sleeping pad, that creates uncomfortable conditions. It's unhealthy for people to not get the proper amount of sleep. I'm pointing these things out on the record so you can hear me. And I'm talking to you with some sense, so I hope you hear me with some sense and aren't blinding me out. Portland police don't need more money. They need better training. They need to understand that people with mental illness out here on the streets, they're people too. And to come up and antagonize our camp out there who are peacefully protesting, we're not tearing things up, we're not tagging things, we're not harassing passersby, any of that. And so for them to blatantly disrespect us like that is ridiculous. These are the people who are supposed to protect and serve us, and they're antagonizing and harming the houseless. These people don't have a voice, and it's not fair for that to continue happening. It's beyond scooting someone's sleeping bag to the side. They're blatantly being disrespectful and harmful to the people out there. Clean and Safe comes and blatantly harasses people and don't care. These people are saying, we're not going to get in trouble. Call our bosses. I'm begging you to do something about this.
Thank you, and I do appreciate it. Thank you for your testimony.
To
Good
my
morning.
Understanding, officers have the right That's to actually, Kendra James. Officers, I was told specifically by an officer that they have the right to pick and choose who can sleep and when to not sleep. I would like something in writing stating that when we are where and when we can protest peacefully instead of every day receiving documents saying that we are not allowed to protest here because yeah. of erect tents. There has nothing been erect. We sleep openly with no tents or anything, and I really want to peacefully protest is what we've been doing. We've been cleaning up after ourselves, but now just this morning we received another written whatever it is because we cannot get anything in writing from council or anyone, and I would really love that in writing so we know our rights, because they're picking and choosing when to harass us, because they do harass us nightly, every night. They don't have anything else better to do than circle us and put their lights on us and just pick and choose when they want to say, oh, you guys got to get up and move. So if I don't know who I need to speak to, but I would definitely want that in writing, today would be great, because I'm tired of them harassing us.
Are
there sleep zones? Do we have sleep zones here?
Not specifically, no.
So everybody gets swept. There's nowhere for anybody to just sleep peacefully.
No, there are protocols, and I can get those to Ms. James if you can leave your contact information.
So there's no legal places for people to sleep, like the houseless?
Why do you have a Thank security you. Guard that's asking...
excuse me, you're interrupting testimony. No, excuse me. You are interrupting testimony. Please do not do that. You're
robbed. Here that is
excuse me, you are not testifying. You are not testifying. You are interrupting. Next three, please.
Also,
Ms. James, could you leave your contact information
Charles
with Mustafa?
Charles Richcrane Johnson and Nico Haney.
Not called sleep zones. No, if you leave your contact information with Mustafa, I'm happy to have a follow-up conversation. We're getting pretty far afield. I am happy to have leave some contact information. I would be happy to call you. I'm sorry?
Once I give them my information, what can I expect for being followed up again?
Soon. Next couple of days. You have my word. Leave some follow-up information. I will call you. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Nico Haney.
I'm sorry. Can we take we'll take a 2-minute recess and get that cleared up because I want to hear what you have to say. We'll take a 2-minute recess.